Standing by.
In 3.
2-1.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hey there! This is Katie with a very hateful thought of the day. I hate stinky hand soap. Perfumey, gross soap is a very personal decision that I prefer to make on my own. If you're putting flowery, plastic-smelling soap in your guest bathroom, just stop. Just stop it! Let's face it, we gotta wash our hands after a trip to the loo. And once you hit that squirt bottle, there's no turning back. Give me some old-fashioned Dial and call it a day. I don't want to smell like baked goods or pine trees. I just want to be clean. I hate stinky hand soap, and you, I probably hate you too.
Hygiene is key.
Key.
Wash them hands and whatnot.
I really do hate, like, just gross hand soap.
Anyone that we will totally, like, blow off in the interest of keeping clean hands and saying, I just can't do it? Like a gingerbread one, would you stay away from that?
No, I would do it, but I'd just rinse until my hands were raw.
They seem to really rear their heads around Christmas time.
Oh, man. That's the worst.
Cranberry and, almond brickle. You want some of that?
If you can't tell, like, I'm having some allergy issues right now.
Hadn't noticed.
And, liar. I woke up sounding like my dog voice.
You've been here 80 minutes and you haven't been able to blink.
It's true.
It's like being here with Jackie Stallone.
Good eye, glass eye, bad eye.
Allergy eye.
Allergy eye.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to episode 6 of Cake and Cookies. This is the Rob and Katie Show, as found on iTunes.
It's like the coolest thing ever. I know it's not the coolest thing ever.
No, it's pretty cool.
But this is so cool. This has made my year.
I actually spent...
I don't have a lot to live for.
The most of the morning I've spent just clicking on the link. It's still there.
It's still there. I know. I've been doing it since I found it yesterday.
Like they're going to figure it out and yank it out of there. This is episode 6 of this weekly podcast, the show by way of comparison that your life isn't that bad. Are we succeeding?
I would hope so, considering I think we've proven to people that we both probably have a slight drinking problem.
Well, it's not like it's ever affected our work except that one time.
Except that one time. But
One
in six, exactly. If I knew that we wouldn't miss, I would high-five you.
Precisely. Precisely.
Also, you should be, you know, feeling pretty good about yourself on that one. We don't even attempt to high-five.
No. Oh, God, that life is behind us.
No, it's just a swoosh in the air.
So our thanks to iTunes for approving us. Our thanks to you for listening. And our thanks, as always, to Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and everybody at More Broadcasting. Thank you, guys. I'm Rob Spiewak.
I'm Katie Powers.
And episode 6, feeling good about it. We'll get to it.
Okay.
I tell you what, by the time you figure out what name you want to go by, our names will be on our page on iTunes.
Oh, whatever. I still can't believe they messed that
our
up.
Our category is what? Other now? Generic?
Yes, we're
unknown.
Under other generic. However, if you do want to search for us,
it's very easy. Cake and Cookies, one word, no spaces.
And all spelled out.
Yes, A-N-D. Don't use an ampersand. If you're too busy to type out the word and, we don't want you.
So Cake and Cookies, and that's how you'll find it.
It'll take you there, and we will tidy that up. We'll make that easier, but right now, I've put the link everywhere, our Facebook pages, our Cake and Cookies Facebook page.
Granted, we're still at that place where we still have to share it from other pages because we don't know how to do anything.
Yeah, I tweeted it, though, on my bi-weekly visit to the Twitter page.
Yep, still, yep.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great. Now, I myself, right now...
I think we should put somebody in charge of us for that.
We did put somebody, put me in charge of it, and it sucks.
Let's
I'm going to do
Dan
better.
Dan in charge of it. He can't spell, and his grammar's pretty bad.
He's not even here. We can't task him with something if the man's not here.
Oh, yes, we can.
Okay, then it's done.
It's
but
done.
I can still get in there and do stuff, right?
Absolutely. All so right. Can I don't trust him. I'll have to go in and fix all of his spelling.
I'm sad he's not here.
Uh-huh.
Because we were going to talk about his box of porn.
Yeah, we're going to have to get...
Didn't we tease that?
We did, but I think we're going to have to wait for him to be here.
Yeah, to fill in the details.
Yes.
So I guess my lead story is the fact that this morning I woke up with a food hangover.
Happy birthday, Rob!
Thank you. 43. I made it. I made it. I'll pause so you
Looks
can collect
like
your bets.
You've made it.
Now, we've both had birthdays recently.
I hope yours went better than mine, because I pissed off my entire house.
I didn't piss anyone off on my birthday.
What happened? Sure?
Yeah, pretty sure. What happened with yours that was so bad?
Well, let me ask you a question.
I'm always open for a question.
Do you have a side of the bed?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Always the left side of the bed. Always.
Even if
Carrie's not there, the left side of the bed. When I'm traveling in a hotel, king size bed, I'm always on the left side of the bed. That's where I belong.
You don't go to the middle?
No.
I don't have a side of the bed.
And I'm like Rachel Maddow. I'm always to the left.
Okay.
But you've not been married as long as me, but you've been with
Dan.
I've
been married twice.
Well, I'm not going for number of marriages. I'm going by number of years.
Right, but I have never had a side of the bed.
You need to have one.
I don't think I do.
You do, because it keeps things, it's a system. It's usual.
I know this now.
Okay.
I don't think, because, okay, so Dan and I have been together longer than we've had the dogs.
Okay.
On the night of my birthday.
Second anniversary yet?
No.
No, because that'll be 14 years in dog years.
Yes.
Thank you.
On the night of my birthday.
Which was?
February 18th.
Of course it was. I remember. Don't look at me.
Right.
I texted you, I think. I wrote on your Facebook wall.
Yes, mine and everybody else's. So,
you did not get a copy and paste.
Rob.
You didn't get a copy and paste. I promise you that.
I'm not hurt.
Okay, good.
Okay.
You're much tougher than that.
I know. So we went out to dinner. I had champagne. I had some wine.
Italian place?
No. We went to a lovely little French place.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wore a little outfit even.
I saw a picture of you. It looked like you're having a wonderful night. Do you want to name the place?
We went to Mon Ami Gabi.
That means my friend Gabby. Doesn't it?
I thought, okay.
Well, I mean, Mon Ami, my friend. Mm-hmm. Gabby is a name?
I would imagine.
Okay, my friend Gabby. Excellent. It's about Western sidekick Gabby Hayes.
I have no idea.
I'm going way too obscure. So you go to a French place. Is it in D.C.?
There is one in Bethesda. There's one in Reston in the town center.
Is it a chain?
See, I thought it was like a big chain. And then I looked it up and there's one in Bethesda. There's one in Reston. And then I think there's like two in the Chicago area.
That's weird.
I know. I thought so too. I was like, oh, it's not. I mean, it's kind of a chain, but it's not really a chain.
Wow. And it's a French place?
Yeah.
So they have to be careful if the German restaurant ever wants to take over. They're just going to lay right down for them.
Well, let's just say we didn't use the Von Herman name.
Of course not. My name is Pierre. And this is Louise. So you go to the French place.
Yeah. And we have a great time. It's lovely. Although we did go. And I mean, I know that we look a little bit younger, and Dan is, he doesn't like dress, like he just doesn't.
No, he dresses comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
And he is younger than you, isn't he?
Just by like 2 years.
Okay, but so he's a youngish guy who dresses young.
He's not going to put on a suit to go to, he just doesn't.
Doesn't do it.
Unless it really was, you know, if it was like a rehearsal, if there was like a reason, then sure.
He can do it.
But I was wearing fancy jeans, heels, and a nice top.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Dan was wearing nice jeans and a dress shirt.
It's what Carrie would call a great date night outfit.
Yes. They stuck us in a back room by ourselves in a corner.
Like they were ashamed of you?
Yes.
What was the overall ambiance of the place? How were other people dressed? Were there coats and ties?
I mean, in the like bar area where there were people.
The bar. Hey, how am I going to get a drink at the bar?
I'm going to get a drink at the bar.
That's my French accent.
Is it? French by way of Bowie.
So, that's great beer at the bar.
I would see people who would come from work.
Yeah.
I suppose.
So business casual, maybe a step up from what you were wearing?
Yeah, but it was a Tuesday.
Okay.
So I still just did not. I mean, when we walked in.
You felt hidden.
And I won't go as far to call him a maitre d'.
Oh, okay. Host?
The dude standing at the counter.
Desk guy?
Yeah, because he doesn't deserve a title. He sized us up.
Oh.
And because the...
So did you have a reservation?
Yes. The hostess started to take us to the main dining room, and then he sized us up and sent us to like the back room.
Snooty?
Snotty.
Snotty. So he was like the guy in Ferris Bueller, and he sized you up upon your arrival.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Yes, Froman Table of Two.
Yes.
But that's not cool.
Well, but here's the thing. We had the room to ourselves, so it was kind of nice.
I don't like that in a restaurant.
I was mad at first. Not mad. I was peeved.
You know what you are? You were peeved. You were put off.
I was peeved.
But the thing is like, there's nothing creepier in the world to me than an abandoned amusement park. Think about it.
Like, who are you, Clark Griswold?
I mean, like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. When
there was that great episode with the robot, and it's at the abandoned amusement park. And the thing is that it is a facility that is designed for a crowd.
Yes.
And you're supposed to have noise and there's supposed to be ambiance, and that's the way it should be. A restaurant is similar.
But it started to fill up after we got there.
Other people in jeans?
Well, actually, older people.
You got there at a point where it was before the old crowd started showing up? Did you have a coupon?
I told you we can't make it to a happy hour.
So, but you got here at what, 3:30 for dinner?
No, it was about 4:30.
It was that early?
Well, I mean, we wanted to get... No. I take that back. It was more like 5:30.
Okay. That's still really early.
But that's still... We're thinking, you know... I don't know what we were thinking. We were thinking, let's get out of the house. We work from home together.
I understand, but... A 7 o'clock reservation...
Look, we can't...
Would be so much better.
We can't... make it out of the house for happy hour. We're either going to be
quarter
there.
After four, you can make it with bells on.
Just that one time.
Who chose the time for dinner?
I was ready to go.
I understand you were ready to go, but since
I was hungry.
Since a reservation was made.
Yes.
Someone had to make that reservation. Was it a call up and make a reservation or something done online?
We called up and made the reservation, but then we said, you know what?
Who did it though? Don't say we. Was it you or him?
It was probably me.
Because what I was picturing is, since it was before you were sized up, Dan must have called and said, hello, I need a table for two.
Because that's how Dan says.
Well, he was putting on a more grown-up voice. Because
have
this
you
was
heard his voice?
Yeah, I have heard his voice.
Okay.
Occasionally. Normally, he doesn't talk when you're talking or when I'm talking, which gives him precious little time to talk.
It's true. He's got to sneak it in when he can.
And when Carrie's here, forget it. He might as well wait in the car.
He might as well.
Table for two.
No. See, we actually made what I thought was a reasonable reservation for 6:30.
That's a perfect one.
Okay. But we were ready early. We both wrapped up work.
Right.
And I was like, let's just go get a drink at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So we got there and the bar was full. Bar was packed.
So what happened is all the people that work in the high powered companies that are adjacent to Reston Town Center, which is a shopping mall type Disney village that they've built in our fair city.
Yes.
They've all left the office and they've gone there to drink their $15 beers and laugh about it and talk about what jerks their bosses are.
Yes.
And that's the crowd you walked into.
Right. So
you couldn't get a seat at the bar.
Couldn't get a seat at the bar. So that's when we were like, the restaurant looked like they had a lot of tables.
Sure, especially in the empty dining room.
Shut it.
The haunted, abandoned dining room.
You know.
No, I'm with you.
You know, we're supposed to make people. Okay, well, I suppose this might be working. I thought we were supposed to make other people feel better about their lives, but you're just making me feel bad.
Well, no. Well, in a way.
Can we just skip ahead to the part where...
Yes, please do. How was the food?
Oh, it was so good.
Cool.
It was so good. I had a steak.
Mm.
And I think we had a couple of appetizers.
Very nice.
Yes. I don't remember what Dan had some sort of fish, I think.
So it was a good meal.
It was great. I love that place.
Did you have dessert for
a French place? Yes.
Cool. And you should if it's your anniversary. Or birthday, rather.
Damn it, Rob.
It's the anniversary of your birth.
You know how to make a girl feel special.
I sure do. It's the eye contact, I think. And so you have your wonderful meal. And as you're winding up the meal.
God bless your wife.
No one is pissed yet. Right?
Not yet, no.
Okay. You're a little peeved that you were seated by yourselves.
Right.
But you're not pissed.
Well, we made it kind of a late evening. We did go, we stopped by the Italian place.
Of course you did. Yes. Well, they worry when you don't come by.
It's the truth. So we went by the Italian place and just to have, and this is what I thought was so sweet about like Dan. Every once in a while, he'll say something because for the most part, he's kind of not a romantic person at
sure,
all.
Sure, sure.
But he'll drop a word that I think is sweet.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, do you want to go by the Italian place and maybe have a nightcap? And I was like, yes, I do.
Oh, that's very 1940s of him. I like that.
I love you.
That's terrific.
Just for using that word.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
So now you are not even unpissed. You are delighted.
I'm having a great time.
The evening is cresting.
Yes.
Cool. So you stop in and...
I had a glass of red wine.
Of course.
I think he had a beer.
Mm.
And then we...
You don't do ice and red wine, do you?
No.
Exclusively, and that's exclusively your white wine deal.
Right. We'll talk. We can talk about that. Bill Murray does ice in his champagne. For the very same reason that I do ice in my white wine.
Slow them down?
Hydration.
It's a good idea.
I'm aware.
Okay, good.
So.
Oh, to be Bill Murray and drinking champagne so often enough that you have a method.
It's a pretty cool method. We'll explain it some other time.
Okay.
So, actually, we'll experiment with it some other time.
Always love it.
Maybe just me and Carrie.
I'll be fine.
Okay. Because I know Mama likes her bubbly.
She does.
I know.
Carbonation.
Love it. So we go home,
right,
and brush my teeth, beat the dogs to the bed.
Okay, and once again, as we've said in the past, you don't actually beat the dogs.
No.
This is an effort to get to bed before
the
dogs.
I have to win. I have to get a spot.
Right.
Well, I just every few months switch sides. I don't care. It just doesn't matter.
But why? What motivates you to do this?
Maybe lumpiness of a mattress.
Okay.
Or sometimes, you know, I might want to be closer to the clock or closer to the window. I might want to be closer to the bathroom.
But how big is your bed? The distance, the side of the bed you're on is making a difference how long it takes you to get to the bathroom.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's a king size bed, but it's not.
What concerns me is even if you have some sort of underlying desire to mix it up,
if I sleep,
it's at the expense of the person who's on the other side.
But I didn't think I don't think Dan cares. Dan could sleep like standing up, leaning against a wall. He's one of those people.
Okay. Does he sleep on planes?
Yes.
Oh, I hate that.
No, he doesn't sleep on planes. He dies on them.
He's just gone.
He's just out.
That's
to the point.
The luckiest thing in the world.
Oh, I know. It's
what I wouldn't give.
It really is one of the most jealousy inducing things that he can do to
mm-hmm.
me. I couldn't care if like another woman came in and pulled his pants off. Not jealous.
I'll tell that to Carrie. But the thing is about being on a plane like that, for me, it's a victory if I can sit down and get the seatbelt buckled without like struggle. And the people that can like sit and then just go and they're gone until landing, I would give anything for that. I've tried to do it with medication. I mean, I've taken Ambien before flights, and all I do is I just sit awake going, I cannot sleep on an airplane.
It's so loud. Just the white noise mm-hmm. on an airplane
exactly.
is too loud. It's too much for me.
So I
switch sides.
You switch sides, and that is not what pissed everyone off?
That is what pissed everyone off.
How?
Okay, well, Dan comes in and like gets in bed on the other side. No big deal.
Come to deliver the birthday present.
Judd and Presley?
Yes.
Completely disoriented.
Oh, because the sides have been switched.
Yes. Okay, now Presley snuggles like by Dan's knees.
Okay.
Usually all night. Judd snuggles like right around my middle. He curls up like in a little ball
mm-hmm.
right in like my middle. He just kind of gets in there. He's pushed me off the bed a couple times.
What a jerk.
It's sweet, but it's a little much.
Is it like with Linus? When Linus shifts during the night, he'll lay down, but lay down into me. So it's almost like he's throwing his body at me.
Yes.
Because he wants to be so close to me.
I can't get close. I can't, Mom. Mom, I can't get close enough. I am trying so hard to get in here. I just need to, if I could just tuck it in even closer.
Yeah, they use force to get closer. I've seen it happen.
And the worst is if he's flipped around the other way and his paws are aiming at
mm-hmm.
me and he stretches out.
Yes.
And I want to die.
It's like an Iron Maiden.
It's
not the band, but the torture device.
Right, the torture device. It's right. awful.
Yes.
So I flip sides and Judd lost his ever-loving mind. He oh my God. Okay. First of all, he was like spinning around in the bed. Like he'd go over to Presley and he'd be like, why aren't you upset? And then he'd come back over to my side, like to where I was, not my side.
Right.
Because apparently my side is not where I was.
Right.
And he'd come back over to me and he'd be like,
now that's a noise we've not heard from him before.
No, no. And then
he's complaining.
Yes. He's being vocal.
Right.
About 2 o'clock in the morning, like, so I sort of doze off. He,
right.
He kind of gives up.
Sure.
It's like defeat. Okay. But about 2 o'clock in the morning, he gets up and he scratches at the door. Okay, so we're like, all right, I guess.
To get out of the bedroom?
I guess he has to go to the bathroom.
All right.
So Dan, like, gets up with him and, like, goes and lets him out the doggy door.
Dog-E-door.
And, they come back upstairs. Dan gets back in bed where I now know is my side.
So Dan goes, when he gets back in bed, he gets to the place that used to be your side of the bed.
Right.
Which is the left or the right?
That would be the, how do you tell? Are you standing at the foot and
you're
no, it's
how,
at,
you, how when you're laying,
you're
in,
laying
the,
in
when
okay,
you're laying
it's
in
the
bed.
Left side.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, so it would never work out with us.
It would never work out with us.
Damn it. Shucks.
And that's the only reason.
That's the only reason.
Right. So.
Give me something concrete.
Right. So.
So Dan is now getting back in bed on the left side of the bed where everyone in the family feels you should be.
And this is when Judd throws a temper tantrum. He starts barking and growling at me.
In the middle of the night.
It's 2:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And he is because he has the worst, most bitch bark ever.
Okay.
Presley sounds like a beagle with the big
right, right.
Right. Poor little Judd and his like bitch bark.
He got nothing.
We call it his bitch bark.
His bitch bark. Oh, that's sad.
It's so pathetic.
Yeah.
But he does have a very convincing growl.
Okay, that's good.
Yes.
But you didn't want to hear that either.
No, he turned into Cujo.
Yeah, you don't want anything like that.
He was so mad.
Oh, that's horrible.
He was so mad. But at this point, I feel like I have to win.
Of course.
Right.
You're the alpha. You have to win. You can't give up on this.
I did the next night because I was so... He kept us up the entire night. He was pacing in the bedroom. And now I feel bad.
No, don't feel bad.
Just thinking back on it, the pacing and the barking and everything.
One would think that a pacing dog would not be a problem, but when a room is dead silent, you have carpet in your bedroom, I assume.
Yep.
You hear the crunch of carpet under a dog's paw.
And there's more for Judd. He has dew claws on his back feet.
Okay.
Or his back legs.
Yes.
So they kind of like,
yeah,
like they click. Yeah, it's like a fingernail click.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But it's louder.
The most annoying noise is the noise that you shouldn't hear, but you can.
Mm-hmm.
And in a dead silent room, if a dog is like sneaking up on you, paws on carpet is like, quick, 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 quick.
Yes.
Quick, quick. I had an experience with...
Followed by this like...
Because of the paw, dew claw. This week, I was down at the computer... And I don't think Linus knew I was here. I wasn't doing anything musical. I was just typing.
Uh-huh.
And he comes in and I hear, quick, 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 quick. And it's him, you know, quiet on the carpet.
Uh-huh.
And then I hear, ba-doom, boom. He's jumped up on the couch. He's not allowed to be on
he's
the
not,
couch.
He's not, yeah.
He doesn't think I'm here. And so I look over at the couch, which is like perpendicular to my desk. And all I can see is not even his snout, just dog eyes. He's looking at me over the back of the couch. He's, oh. You're here too. And I'm talking, you know what? This is when you really start to think that you're losing your mind because you really have a conversation with a dog.
And I look over. Conversation, I narrate.
And I said, Linus, what are you doing? You're not allowed on the couch. And again, just looking
at him. Because he speaks English.
And looking at me with the big brown eyes. And I say, so what? Now you're couch dog? And he's just looking at me. And I said, buddy, you got to get down. You gotta get down. And
okay, this okay.
And
this,
his head goes,
what you're doing right now drives me insane about Dan.
What?
You can't reason with a dog.
I know, but it's the first reaction you have because I was surprised that he did it. It had for a dog who has been neutered, he showed amazing balls to jump up and look at me.
But he didn't know you were here.
I know. And then he played it off. It's kind of like,
I just accidentally fell up.
It's the canine equivalent of a human waving to someone in a car. Then they realize it's not them and they pretend they're rubbing their head. It's like, hi. How you doing?
Yeah. Dan's sister has told us like we have a doppelganger couple in Alexandria that drive the same car as we do.
She waves at them all the time.
And calls us, are you guys in Alexandria? Let's meet up. And we're like, no.
And stop waving to that poor couple. You're going to get a letter. So I did. I stood up and Linus jumped down and walked off. If dogs could whistle, that's what he'd be doing. He was so caught in the act and he knew it. He absolutely knew it. But that's not what we were talking about. We're talking about the fact that...
I'm done. No, I moved back to the apparently... my assigned side of the bed.
Well, I mean, that's what they're accustomed to. It's what they're used to.
I will say, though, last night, couldn't sleep at all.
Why?
I drank too much and I threw my back out vacuuming. So I just couldn't sleep.
When you have a muzzle group that you never, ever use.
Yeah.
How do you throw your back out? Do you have some sort of ancient Kirby vacuum from World War II?
No, I have one. Well, we actually have three vacuum cleaners.
Yeah.
From my former OCD.
Living the life.
Yeah, from my former OCD days.
Yeah, do you keep one on each level of the house? You have a basement and an upstairs, don't you?
Right, but the basement... Well, I mean, nobody goes in the basement. We don't...
No, because she left.
She's gone!
I don't have that tape anymore.
Jerk!
Okay, but so you could conceivably have a vacuum on each level.
Sure. But no, we don't.
Okay.
So
do you not vacuum a lot?
We vacuum a lot. We have two beagles shed.
Okay.
They do.
Okay. So you have to vacuum.
Yeah.
Okay.
But one of them is like an auric, and it's not a backpack, but it has like a little strap.
Oh, like a courier's bag.
Yeah. So
and is that where the motor and everything is?
Yeah.
And so you just plug in and go.
Yeah. So I put this, I put this strap over my shoulder and I am just going to town on the sofas.
Man, that must be a beautiful sight.
But that's how I throw out my back.
So you're not feeling well today and you have the allergies.
I am a mess.
I'm sorry to hear this.
But somewhere in the middle of the night, I got up and I went and slept in the guest bedroom. Nobody is bothered by this.
Oh, really?
I can apparently sleep on the wrong side of the bed, and our whole world is turned upside down. I disappear. Nobody notices. Nobody cares.
Well, you know why?
Nobody comes to check on me.
Because it's more room. Those dogs were probably rolling around. Oh. That's probably it.
They're like, oh man, mom's gone. This is the best ever.
Dad killed her. So... That's groovy.
Do we get to help dig up the yard?
They'll be all in that. You see, and now I feel bad that my birthday was such a smashing success.
Okay, I want to talk about your birthday.
Nobody was mad.
Must be nice.
It was so great.
Don't know what that's like.
It was, yesterday was my actual birthday. You know, it's nice when your birthday falls on a Friday or a Saturday.
See, and it was a Tuesday.
That's not so great, yeah. So, and we were able to celebrate on the day. Now, we've talked in previous episodes about the Supper Club.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the members of the Supper Club, hey, we found in like the third or fourth meal together has the exact same birthday as me. March 8th, 1971. The same day.
No way.
Isn't that wild?
That's pretty cool.
Only person I've ever met that has the exact same date of birth as me. And it was so cool because we were sitting at the table and we were all arguing about who's the oldest. And of course, Carrie always wins. Not really. Just like to point out the fact that my wife is significantly older than me.
If Dan ever.
Just like Mrs. Robinson. I was seduced by her.
If Dan ever.
Yes.
Said something like that to me.
Yeah. All bets are off.
All bets are off. You think Judd was upset?
Well, this is we've been talking about this for a while. She is. I mean, there's no disguising the fact that she's older than me. She was born in the 60s.
Okay.
The mid-60s. Well, maybe.
How many years older, can I ask? Is that rude?
Sure. No, it's not.
How many years older than you?
She was born in September of 1968, the 23rd. Why did I say it like I'm doing a document like from Dickens?
I have no idea.
She was born September 23rd, 1968.
But that doesn't...
Makes her 2.5 years older than me.
Oh, for Pete's sakes.
Significantly older.
I'm 2.5 years older than Dan.
That's significantly older.
It is not.
It is. Let me put it to you this way. If I said, when were you born? 1971. That's me. Doesn't that sound a world different than 1968? Doesn't it?
So when I say...
When were you born? What year?
1978.
That's cute. 1978. Makes me think of the show What's Happening.
Mm-hmm.
And when was Dan born?
1980.
Those are worlds apart. They are. I'm sorry. They are. That's the 80s, man. You were born in the 70s. He's like a Reagan baby. You're Johnny Carter. Our favorite president.
Johnny Carter.
You remember the peanut farmer / Vegas entertainer?
No, I'm sure.
Johnny Carter.
Johnny Carter.
Johnny Carter.
Johnny Carter.
He was a great entertainer and a wonderful president.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sorry.
I think two years. Fabulous ties.
2.5 years is a lot, especially if it's split across decades. So, but I've been saying for years that Carrie is significantly older than me. And then she's used to it. She doesn't care. She's got other things with me that are bigger problems than that. Trust me.
I'm sure.
So it
Actually,
it was our week for the supper club.
And one of our submitted questions will come to that.
We will address that in part D.
Part D of today's show. So you got your supper club together for your birthday.
And because two of us were celebrating our birthday. Oh, don't be jealous. And this is going to get better when I say this. We were light one couple. The Christy and Doug were out of town. So we were down to six people. And we brought in Kristen's sister to fill in.
So you needed understudies.
We needed another couple, yeah. And so we brought in one extra lady. So we partied as seven.
You explained to me,
okay,
with the original explanation of the supper club,
right?
How eight is the perfect number.
Eight is the perfect number, but sometimes you know life throws you a curveball, and it was our birthday. And it's not like we could can't move my birthday, as Hank Kingsley would say in the Larry Sanders show. We needed to do it on March 8th. And, you know.
Because we're barren.
No, it's not that at all.
Barren might not be the right word.
You are childless.
We are childless.
So far. And I think, you know, I don't even know what the situation is with Kristen's sister. Maybe she's without a child as well.
Can I tell you a secret?
Sure.
For like everybody?
Oh, well, you know. I know a lot of people don't listen to this show.
Yeah.
But telling a secret on it is still not the best way to keep a secret.
I will not say that we are trying.
Okay.
But we have stopped preventing.
That's terrific.
And by my saying we've stopped preventing, it's only happened one time.
But that's a start. There's got to start somewhere.
Dan, like,
do you feel?
We had a big conversation about it. Dan leaves the house, goes and has a few beers somewhere, comes home, and is like a changed man.
Wow.
Apparently, he just needed to go wrap his head around it.
Now, I have a question for you, and I will get eventually to my birthday dinner, but this
so
is
sorry.
This
I'm
is
so
such
sorry.
A juicy
I can't believe I just dropped that.
My question for you is this: does it feel different when you're having coitus for a purpose?
There's no purpose.
Well,
it's still fun.
It is fun, but I'm saying that I remember when Carrie and I decided it was time to start, and
I don't even know that we could say that much.
Well, you might not be driving to town, but you've certainly started the car.
Mm-hmm.
You all right there, babe? Need a napkin?
I'm going to get a napkin.
Okay, she's going to get a napkin.
Can we go to break here for a second?
Yeah, you know, it'd be a great time to go to break. And when we come back...
We'll come back and we'll talk about...
More stuff to talk about, and also, very curious about...
We're cruising.
Starting the baby car.
We're cruising.
Wow. We talked for 30 minutes before the show, and you never bring this up? Thrilling stuff. All right, episode 6. You get a napkin. I'll drive for a second. Back after this. This is Cake and Cookies. We'll step away. Beer in the nose. If you had beer in the nose at 35 minutes into the show, you win. Back after this on Cake and Cookies. And a short 2 hours later, we are back.
Shut it.
No, it's Carrie.
It was me.
No, it was both of you. It's a tie.
I got chatty.
She comes dancing down. First of all, you're comparing leggings.
It's true. And
I wish there had been more of that.
I have to tell No, no, you don't. That's when it...
That was A-okay.
You know, I won't let Dan, like, watch me put on, like, leggings or stockings.
Really?
No.
Is it like in Seinfeld that there's a sexy nude and unsexy nude?
There's no way to look good putting on stockings. I mean, they make it look that way, like, in the movies and stuff.
Sure.
You know, just shimmies right up your leg.
Right?
That's not the truth.
I think they probably filmed that in reverse.
Yeah.
So they just slide them off. Yeah, yeah. I won't let Carrie watch me put on cufflinks. So
no, God, no.
It's a tie. Anyway, welcome back. When we left, we found out something striking, chilling.
I can't believe I'm telling you.
Sizzling. About my co-host.
And here's the thing. I don't want people to think that... you know, if things don't happen, I don't want people to, like, feel bad for us or anything.
No, 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 no. It's
We're
not that.
We're just, like, kind of seeing what's going on.
Right. What happened is, in the previous segment, we were discussing the methodology of becoming pregnant. It's not that you and Dan are trying. It's just you've stopped preventing.
Yes.
Okay. How many times have you stopped preventing?
Only once.
And what was... Wow. What was your method of prevention? If you had a sign in your front yard that said, this is protected by ADT security, what method were you using?
We used condoms.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't do birth control. I don't like
the pills.
Yeah. I don't.
Okay.
I don't like this.
Any reason?
I they make me crazy.
Okay. Well, there's many different kinds.
I know. And I've tried, like, all kinds of them, but they all seem to affect me.
Mentally?
Mentally, not just mentally. They make me very sensitive.
Okay.
And I don't.
It's funny. The condoms make Dan less sensitive.
Yeah. I don't feel good messing with my hormones.
I understand. Okay.
Like, if that makes any sense. Like, it just didn't feel not a physicality standpoint.
I understand.
It just didn't feel, for me, I went off the pill a few years ago, and I feel like a less crazy human being. I used to cry a lot, and now
I still cry a lot. So it's fine. There's nothing wrong with crying.
No, but now I'm just a normal, like, dead inside kind of person.
And now Dan's riding bareback.
Yep.
That's terrific. Good for him.
Wow, that was one way to put it.
Well, I mean, I'm just, you know, speaking in veiled terms.
Was that veiled?
I don't know.
I don't think that was veiled.
It was a horse analogy is what it was.
Oh, God.
So in a way, it was sort of flattering, I think.
Hey,
you know what? We asked last week for questions.
And correct.
Don't.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Now I feel uneasy.
You can edit that out.
No,
I'm
going to leave
it
in. For the sake of completion.
So.
Really. Now that's another badly chosen word. But for the sake of completion, I'm going to leave it in.
Yes. So I don't want people to think that, you know, there's.
It's not an issue of time. There's no urgency.
No.
You don't want people's prayers.
And it's not like
you don't want any fertility dances.
No.
As a matter, doesn't Dan do one occasionally? The fertility dance?
No, he doesn't dance for people. I think we've been over this.
Yeah, I just like restating
it. Yeah, he doesn't because he feels that it's too much for them.
It is. It's not fair.
No, it's not fair.
It's not fair for the women and some of the men.
That's why, yeah.
He dirty dances.
Oh, God. I don't know.
It's
going
to result. You know what the dirty dancing is going to result in? Triplets.
Yeah. You know, twins run in my family. Both sides.
Hey, that's great. I will.
I'm a tiny person. Split me like a watermelon.
I will check back later. We asked you last week to ask us your questions. We said you can either private message us on Facebook, and that is, of course, facebook.com/RobbandKatie, or... You can do the Twitter thing, and we are at Rob and Katie. And the question we actually
got some good questions.
We got some good questions. First of all, from Michelle, would you think it's Glasser?
I think it's Glasser.
She says, "What is one song that you're embarrassed to say that you like?" And I like this question for two reasons: is that Katie and I each came up with questions.
They could not be more different.
We came up with songs really quick.
Yes,
and they are very different. I'd like to lead with yours.
Oh, thanks.
Because mine,
yours is terrible.
Mine is really bad, but also you didn't know mine, which surprises me. Yours is from, golly, is it 88-ish? 88, 89?
Something like that, I don't know. Man, I love me some Paula Abdul.
About the same height as her.
And, I can't help it.
Like you, a former Laker girl.
And a judge on American Idol.
Of course, she's a pro
also,
dancer. Yeah.
Drinking problem. We have so much in common.
I always hypothesize hers might not have just been alcohol.
Possibly not.
Yeah.
You love know, so, a boy a plane.
Now, wait. I think we're still limited to how much music we can play. So I just want to say the reason Cold Hearted Snake is so great is not the...
No.
Not it's, the overall sound of the record.
It's
probably got to be the breakdown. Right, Chad?
You could find somebody better, boy.
Oh, you know all the words.
I do. And this is the part like where they're in the video.
Yes.
Where they're like closing the windows.
Yes, of
course. The curtains of the windows and taking off their like...
And you're saying this is the greatest choreography I've ever seen.
She, you know, she was a dancer.
Is a dancer. And also...
And there was scaffolding for some odd reason.
There was a lot of scaffolding in 1980s videos.
Yeah, and the judges got, oh, whoo,
I think the problem in the 1980s, the videos was a lot of stuff was being remodeled and revamped. And there was just scaffolding everywhere.
Yes.
It was on the Statue of Liberty.
Absolutely.
I believe it was on the Washington Monument.
Truth.
And it was in every Paula Abdul video.
The real issue that we're going to run into with your...
My song?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is... the fact that we are limited in how much time we can play.
I know, and it because is a song, 7.5 minute song.
7.5 minute song.
And before which, quite frankly, honorable mention to the song Rush Rush.
Yes, I did.
Which had Keanu Reeves in the video based on the James Dean movie Rebel Without a Cause.
Do you have that one too?
I don't.
Oh, come on.
It's an honorable mention. She said
rush,
one song.
Rush.
Or as I like to say it, rebel without a cause. It makes
so
it more
good.
Of a rallying cry.
So there are a few Mariah Carey songs in there too, but I don't think I'm embarrassed of those.
But do you really, really like them? Because you really like Cold Hearted.
Man, I know all the words.
I know you do. And I really like a song, the worst song ever, and maybe that is why I like it so bad. Now, who did Richard Harris play in the Harry Potter show? He was a professor? Like an old man professor in Harry Potter.
Richard Harris.
Yes.
I don't know who Richard Harris is.
Stand back and get ready to know, because here's Richard Harris to sing for you.
Spring was never waiting for us, girl. It ran one step.
It's not Dumbledore, is it?
I believe it is.
Oh my gosh.
Now, it has this beginning, and you know what? This is not backbreakingly bad until you get to the hook of the record. It's melting in the dark.
All the sweet green icing.
All of the sweet green icing is flowing down.
Someone left the cake out.
And there ain't. Someone left the cake out.
It's Dumbledore.
Yeah, it is. Richard Harris. I thought it might be. Anyway, and then just when you think it's... Oh.
Someone left the cake out in the rain?
Yeah, and don't worry. He's going to hit this note. Or not.
Is he crying?
He is, because he's sad about the cake. But don't worry, the song has a happy part, too.
It does.
Yeah,
oh.
Oh, very upbeat here. Check this out.
Oh.
And at only 7 minutes and 16 seconds.
Wow.
The song has many moods and shifts. That is a song that is oftentimes elected as the worst song in top 40 history. And yes, I do love it.
It made the top 40?
Oh, God. It was a big hit. Might have been a number one. It's definitely top five. And the reason I love it is because it is so bad. It is unlike anything else.
Dobby wasn't even in it.
And also, the first time Julia heard it in the car, we listened to the entire thing. By the time it was done, she was waving her hands in front of her face as if to say, make it stop, because she thought it was that funny. So those two songs, Michelle Glasser, mine, of course, MacArthur Park, and Katie's Cold Hearted by Miss Paula Abdul. As DJ Scat Cat would say. And there's a follow-up question from Michelle. And she writes, Dear Casey, tell us something about the other person that most people don't already know.
This was a hard question.
I'll start on this one since you started last time.
Wait. This is a tough question because we both are, as far as I'm pretty concerned, we're open books.
We really are. And we know each other very well, but most of the stuff that needs to be known or people would find interesting, we've already discussed.
Yes.
I just found out that Katie is no longer preventing pregnancy. Okay, the fact I know about Katie that you may not know, Katie no longer practices safe sex.
I'm not laughing back.
No, it's not funny. And you know why? Because it's not funny.
Mm-mm.
But I will tell you this. Here's something you don't know, and this is not really anything shocking, but I think it's very cute. Is that when, this actually calls on something we talked about, I think, in our first episode, that one of the first things that Katie and I bonded over was a love for songwriter, singer, Carole King.
Oh, I love your.
And
yes.
I know that when Katie was a little kid, she wore out numerous copies
yes.
of the song Beautiful.
You yeah. have to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart.
I love Carole King.
I will sing along. I can't help
okay,
myself.
Okay, well, we won't play the whole song then, but
I
do know.
I apologize.
That, I think OCD is something that runs rampant in our business.
Yes.
And when you find a song you like, you will play it over and over and over again. But as a youth, you wore out how many copies of Beautiful?
Three.
By Carole King.
Tapestry.
No wonder it's one of the greatest selling yeah. albums of all time, because your family bought a copy every week and
yes,
a half.
Yes, I did it myself.
But I always thought that was charming, that as a kid, you would be that zoned in on a top 40 record.
It still is my...
And I love it.
It still is my go-to. It's my morning song. Like when I get up in the morning.
Oh, but not M-O-U-R-N.
No. When I get up in the...
Would you like that played at your funeral?
In the AM? Yes.
Then let's do that. Make that happen for you.
Do you want me to die?
No. Oh, oh. You know what? How silly is it me surmising that I'm going to outlive you?
Yeah, that was...
I'll be lucky if I make it to the end of this episode.
I'll be lucky if I make it to the end.
I'll write
that.
It down, but I yeah. think that would be nice. Play Photograph at mine, and we'll play...
Photograph?
By Ringo.
F-F-F? Photograph
that? No. All I've got is a photograph, and I realize you're not coming back anymore.
Yeah.
Sad, but right?
But that's sad.
It is sad.
But I don't want people to be sad.
Well, no, it's... But
Rob,
it's...
you're like the happiest person in the world. Why would you want people... Oh, you want someone like weeping in the corner. You've watched...
I want everybody weeping in the corner.
You've
at
watched
my funeral.
High Fidelity recently, haven't you?
With Carrie in the house, it's a bi-weekly thing.
I love High Fidelity. It's one of my favorite movies.
She loves John Cusack.
I do too.
Like, she'd leave me for him. Even now that he's old and colors his hair and looks kind of like a modern day Edgar Allan Poe. She would still leave me for John Cusack.
I would too.
I would not leave her for Joan Cusack. So I guess that makes me the better guy. She's older now.
You know, my favorite line in High Fidelity mm-hmm. is delivered by Joan. Well, actually, no, there's two. One of them
you gotta love when he does the Cosby sweater dance.
No. That's Jack. That's Jack Black,
and it's great,
and it's hilarious.
It's great.
My favorite lines are, "Charlie, you bitch, we can work it out." Followed by Joan Cusack's having like brunch with
right.
I can't even ever remember her name, and she's shocking. I find that shocking.
Shocking.
Just the way that she says shocking. I could never, just every time somebody says something to me that I find actually shocking,
yeah.
I have said the word shocking.
Does anyone ever pick up on it?
No.
No, of course not.
No.
Too obscure. I'm right there with you.
But shocking.
Shocking. Shocking. Cosby sweater.
The Cosby sweater.
So that's about Katie, is that she is no longer using condoms. And... and Dan is okay with that.
I mean, it honestly was kind of like, it was sort of like his choice.
Well, it probably has been for several years.
Yeah.
Always was mine. But anyway, and also that even from a youth, loved Carole King. And I thought that, and I like mm-hmm. that, not because it's such a sizzling topic for the listener, but it's one of the first things we bonded on.
Absolutely.
Okay. And now I've been on the air for 20 years or so. And so there must not be many things that people don't know about me that you know, but what you got?
This is really tough. One that I found out that on a similar vein.
Yes.
Oh, no pun intended.
Okay.
That you and Carrie decided to create Julia on your birthday.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to strike when the iron is hot.
Oh,
yeah. When the hotel has a reservation, you get that room.
Also, speaking of hotels.
Yes.
Both of your children created in hotels.
No. To be clear.
Okay.
Robert was created in a hotel.
Hungover in a hotel.
Hungover sex on New Year's Day.
Brad.
My buddy, my best friend, Brad.
Yes. Johnny Midnight.
Yes.
As some of you may know him.
Yes.
Apparently, within minutes.
Moments. Okay. After the deed, came into the room.
Right.
And what?
And you're both like in your hotel.
We're in our robes. They're
right.
Closed. We're
so
decent.
I know this, but I know the stories of your children being created.
Yes. You were very close with Julia. Julia, even though Robert is the result of hungover sex, Julia is the result of a postprandial encounter, meaning after a meal. We had been to brunch, and it was a hotel brunch.
Actually, that's what people don't know about you.
What's that?
you and Carrie like to have, I have had a meal, I'm so full, I might die sex.
I would probably prefer not to do it then, but when you're given the opportunity, you gotta strike.
Yeah, I understand that.
So that's something they didn't know, is that when my children were conceived. How about that, Carrie?
Woo!
Thank you. She got the timing of her daughter, doesn't she? Coming walking in at that.
No, it was perfect.
Tom Townsend writes, hi guys, really enjoying the show thus far. Thank you. Sounds a little bit like a challenge though. Like, don't think I'm going to like it from now on, but up to now it's been okay.
Yeah.
So thanks, Tom.
Thus far.
In the last show, you asked for some questions. I was wondering if Rob has very much punk rock in his vast vinyl collection. If so, what are some of your favorites?
You know, I almost took offense to that question.
Why?
Because A, it assumes that I, A, don't have a vinyl collection.
Which you do. As a matter of fact, I actually gave you some Seed albums.
I had a really good select.
What you had was about 15 copies of Tapestry that played most of the way through.
They all sort of skipped at this one same spot. But I
have a larger record collection than you, I imagine.
Absolutely.
And also more varied. Now, what he wants me to say is, punk rock? I don't listen to punk rock.
But that's not true.
Not true. And you know what? Here's this name again. Johnny Midnight was in a great punk band when we were in high school.
Which I think is the coolest thing ever.
And what you don't realize is that Brad actually has a great singing voice. And here is a great piece of rock and roll trivia to anyone who was running around in the punk scene in the late 80s, perhaps going to the old 930 club. The band was called Blackout, mm-hmm. and one time their opening act was a guy, I don't know what ever happened to him.
I don't know what happened to him either.
His name was Dave Grohl, and he opened for Blackout. Not many copies of this record out there. It was a 7-inch single, and actually an EP, and I've put it in my jukebox before.
Right.
And I'm still in touch with, I think, 3 of the band members, which is crazy to think of it. 5.
Oh, okay.
Well, they had a horn player that sort of came in when he was younger, and I think there was trouble. Trouble with curfew.
Didn't every boy around his teenage years play the horn at some point?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Now, and then that was the hit single. And the flip side, of course, this is the prettier song, Burning Insanity. I wonder if there is anyone about my age that in high school was into the punk scene and remembers this band. I went and saw them a couple times. And I feel bad playing an earworm like this because you'll be whistling it all night.
But I think on the same...
So yeah, I do have some punk.
Like on the same level, the same sort of time, a little bit later, probably 5 or so years later after that would have been like Fugazi.
Yeah.
In this area.
There you go. So that's some of the punk. I also have some of the Ramones and of course Paula Abdul and Richard Harris we've already mentioned. So yeah, I do have punk music in my music collection. Not definitely a go-to for me.
Those are totally different things.
Are they?
Yes.
Are they? But anyway, yes. The Blackout sounds great in my jukebox. Thank you to Tom and Michelle for writing in. Now, talking about my birthday and eating a tremendous amount of food, as we did.
Now, you went to
the Peking Gourmet Inn in Falls Church, Virginia. The greatest Chinese restaurant there is, actually frequented
really
by presidents, actors. And when you think about some of the greatest restaurants in a town like Washington, D.C., people are always going to default to things like steakhouses.
And the fancy places.
I don't know. I don't go there. I go to this place because, above all, I love the food.
Mm-hmm.
Now, luckily, the guy who was in charge last night, Bobby.
Now, we met Bobby. I've met Bobby.
Of course. His grandparents founded the restaurant.
Yes.
And he is an ex-Marine, and they don't let the restaurant open unless there is a family member there. It is tightly run,
mm-hmm.
and the food is amazing, and that's where I wanted to go for my birthday. Carrie said, what do you want to do for your birthday?
The crispy duck.
I said, I want to go to the Peking Gourmet Inn, and I want to bring the supper club there, because the only thing better than eating there... Stop, don't be jealous.
It hurts
We can go
me.
Anytime. We can go anytime.
I don't want to go with you.
Well, then you can go anytime.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure.
Whatever.
But I wanted to go with the supper club because the only thing better than the food there is watching people eat the food that have never had it.
Oh, my God. That was
That's
one thing
a show
that
for me.
When we went there, other than the fact that I still think that there was a member of our party who was trying to make out with me.
Was it Beth Ann?
Yes.
I remember.
She kept commenting on my boobs.
Yeah. And that's, and you know, and that, you know what that is? Which that's her taking something that's great and ruining it. Which is what she always does.
All I know is that
the last time I spoke to Beth Ann McBride, I was standing in line to ride the merry-go-round at King's Dominion on a summer Sunday afternoon, not a care in the world. And my phone rings and it's her. And it's a wrong number.
Oh, God.
And then she asks me a question that makes me feel uneasy. And then she says, I'm sorry to bother you. And I look at Carrie, I said, she's done it. Even 4 years after I've worked with her, she can still ruin everything.
Yeah.
And so she made that night awkward for you.
Well, I felt awkward enough because I'd picked out my outfit.
Right.
And I didn't really, it wasn't a time in my life where I exactly dressed up a whole lot.
No, of course not.
So
We're radio guys.
Yeah. So I picked out a black skirt.
Nice. Very nice.
That was sort of longer, like below the knee.
Okay.
Like a little pencil skirt.
Right.
Okay. And a blue button-down blouse.
Mm-hmm.
What I did not know was that the blue button-down blouse did no longer fit me.
Oh.
And I could not button.
I understand.
Yeah, I couldn't button as what would have been appropriate.
Yeah, you have too much produce in that basket.
Not something that like had occurred before.
No, a new problem.
It was a new problem.
And in certain situations, not a problem at all.
Well,
as a matter of fact, that's not a problem, that's a feature.
I understand that. However, I felt really, really self-conscious
of
about
course.
It, and I had mentioned it to her.
Oh, no. You see, that's the problem. Don't give her the upper hand.
I mentioned it to her on the way there, and
you drove
was,
with her.
And
because you really, really wanted to ruin your evening. You wanted to maximize your time with Beth Ann.
I didn't know where
I
was
know.
Going.
Nobody did at that point. We were a rudderless ship.
Yeah, so.
You know what? I'm thinking about it. One of the pictures on the wall there is a picture from that evening.
Is it? I was wondering because
so
they
there
took
might
a
be
picture.
A picture of you in that blouse.
There's, I might have tried to squeeze together at
she's
that point.
She's hiding behind a fortune cookie.
That's about all it takes.
I wish I had looked closer because then I would know. So, but anyway, yeah. But that place has the best food.
The duck.
Is amazing. It's great.
I'm not a duck person.
Exactly. Well, one can tell just by looking at your feet.
Right. I'm not a duck person. I'm not really, but my God, the crispy duck.
It's their signature dish. It's their signature dish. They serve sometimes, on a good day, they serve 500 ducks in that restaurant.
I've had three meals that I've had dreams about.
Oh, I dream about that place.
And that's one of them.
But the problem is the duck is fantastic, but there's so many other great things
oh,
on the menu.
Oh, they're so good. Everything is so good.
So
and
what
the
we
drinks.
Did. Oh.
I don't even like I hate rum.
The sugary rum-based drinks?
I hate rum.
Right.
I hate sweet drinks.
But they do it right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they do. It's everything about the place, and the service is fast, the mm-hmm. food is amazing, but the only rub... The rub with two B's is that there are so many great things there, you don't know what to order. So they offer like a sampler menu. And that's what we did for seven people.
Mm-hmm.
You pay a certain fee and they bring you, I don't know how many courses, but I will now tell them to you and we can count them.
Okay.
Before I've adjusted my pants and gotten my napkin on my lap.
Did you wear stretchy pants?
I wore pants that had some room.
Okay.
I wore a lot of clothes that had room last night.
Okay.
When I could air on either side. And they brought us a flaming volcano for the table, which is great. A huge bowl of rum, essentially, with fire in the middle and seven straws that are all 2 feet long. We really looked like mental patients.
There's no way to look cool when you have something like
no,
that.
And you truly know
but
the
you
alcoholics.
Just have to, yeah.
Because I was the one that, when the drink was almost done, standing up and leaning in.
Well,
because the drink is getting shallower and shallower
you
and
gotta,
shallower.
Yeah.
So we
especially
did that.
Especially if you've got someone like that, that's my height. You
yeah.
Know, oh. You get like a sip unless you...
Oh, you got to fight for it.
Well, it's not even you got to fight for it. If you're someone short...
Yes.
And they put that drink in the middle of the table and they give you the same length straw as everyone else.
You're already at a disadvantage.
No, what you got to do is get yourself about halfway on the table. You got to.
And this is a problem if you're spilling out of your blouse.
Well, yes. But you really, what you have to do is sort of, and if you got like I have a little tummy.
Yes.
I'm not going to.
That's fine.
Did you really have to say it that fast?
No, I'm, you know.
Your confirmation was really.
Okay, can we try it again? Say it again.
So I have a little tummy.
Do you? Is that better?
I almost swore at you.
I know you did. I'm glad you didn't. I thought it was very nice that you didn't.
Yeah.
I never noticed this. I was just trying to be supportive and advance the conversation. Sometimes I'm not a polite guy.
Supportive, so like my pants?
Stop it. Stop it. They're prescription pants.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm a broadcaster first.
Okay.
Very rarely I'm a broadcaster at all.
So I have a little tiny tummy.
I'm okay. For the sake of argument, let's say yes, but it's never been an issue.
But
it's getting better.
On some point, you kind of have to like hike yourself up on the table.
Sure, sure.
Otherwise, you're not getting anything.
No, your straw is in the soy sauce.
You just got to...
You didn't even make it halfway there.
At that point, what I have done in the past is I just lean over to the waiter because there's always someone stationed...
Nearby, ready to go.
So you kind of, you know, lean over and say, you know what? I might need my own drink.
Yes, and that's the next step.
Because
that's the next
otherwise,
step.
You become... What was the mom on Tool Time? Or not Tool Time,
Home Improvement.
One thing,
Patricia Richardson.
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
One thing that like my mom loved about her on that show.
Yeah.
Was that they had that kitchen island.
Right.
She would lean over when they would have their talks on the kitchen island.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that my mom loved about it, and I didn't get it until recently.
Right.
Was that my mom was like, and she just puts her belly up there on the counter and just leans over.
Okay. So, okay. Makes sense.
Does that
yeah,
make sense?
It humanizes her.
Yeah.
And makes her more real.
Exactly. It makes her more of a...
I bet that belly would have been up there sooner if there'd been a flaming rum drink.
Probably.
All right. So we order the menu C
and
for a table of seven.
You're standing up.
At this point, well, yeah, well, that drink's gone. I've ordered my own rum drink now. I'm on to the suffering bastard now.
Okay.
That was... as there are going to be like nearly a dozen courses... For the meal.
You need to stay.
There is a drink appetizer and then a main drink. And you can't switch from rum drinks once you start with rum drinks.
No,
you must stay with them.
And that's one reason why I don't like rum.
You can bounce around in the family.
I don't like rum, though.
You see, I'd had a few Tsingtao beers before we headed over to the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But I got on the rum train. Now, first...
But beer before liquor.
Right, and then you're okay,
yeah,
right?
But you have to stay that way.
Right, right. But also, keep in mind, I am a pro. I can dodge most liquor bullets. I'm pretty good at it.
I'm still not sure how you're, like, as okay as you are today.
I'm fine.
I mean, I just have allergies.
Well, I have allergies, too. I live with that.
You, like, tied one. I do, too, but you tied yourself on
it. Well, I mean, the only thing, I woke up this morning with a food hangover. The liquor didn't compete with the food. Because let me run down the courses.
Okay.
First course, they bring out baby marinated celery and the kimchi-styled cabbage, which is all both of them amazing. You'd think celery, one of the most useless things on the planet.
Not like, if you do it right.
Like a radish almost when it's raw.
And that's one thing that I've learned about
what?
Food.
Yes.
By eating there specifically,
mm-hmm.
is that they can take something like celery
and make it amazing.
Oh my God.
It almost tastes like a protein. I don't know. I think it's like a soy based marinade and it's delicious.
The
curry lives for the cabbage. So that's first course, course one. Course two, spring roll and dumpling.
Mm.
Now, I don't know, shy of taking the spring roll out of the oil and tossing it to me, how they could get it to the table faster. Burn your mouth hot.
I love a good dumpling.
Oh, their dumplings are the best because they grow their own leeks. Course three.
Do they really grow their own leeks?
A farm in Purcellville.
Are you kidding me?
I kid you not.
Do you know how much I like leeks?
Well.
Now you do.
I do. I'm never going to introduce you to my plumber.
Thank you.
The third course is the duck, the Peking duck, their signature dish. Which they carve and serve tableside and prepare for you. And that's as much of a show as it is a food. And that's delicious.
It really is. And Carla had told me about this duck dish
and
everything. And I was like, I don't really like duck and blah, 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 blah. And then I had it.
Yep.
Oh, I won't eat duck otherwise, but if I go back to the Peking Gourmet, then I'm totally having it.
If you've never had it, how they do it is they carve the duck and they then carve just the lean part of the skin. They actually mm-hmm. remove the fat. Then they put on lean duck meat, plum sauce, spring onions, and cucumbers wrapped in a homemade pancake. And as they call it, Chinese burrito. I missed course three, actually, was a winter squash and scallop soup.
How did you miss that?
Well, no, I didn't miss it. I'm out of order.
So the soup preceded
the duck. Then there was a mixed fried rice, which was amazing.
No, and their fried rice isn't like you think fried rice.
No, this is extraordinary.
Not.
Oh, and a new dish they've just debuted called firecracker scallops.
Oh, God, I love scallops.
Which are spicy battered. I believe it is a walnut-based.
Rob, we're such fat people.
I know. But you're not.
People.
You're not, but I am physically fat.
No, it's okay.
Fat.
I mean, you can say that now.
You're a food person.
You've already made your claim about my stomach.
I think
the
it
table.
Is a nut-based batter that these are crispy and spicy
so you're
and tender.
You're saying you can't take it to the elementary school.
And served with fried hot peppers. And
oh,
it's
my God, that sounds amazing.
Then comes the lamb chops. Then came the chicken.
Shirley MacLaine?
No, it was Sherry Lewis and lamb chops.
Oh, Sherry Lewis. I'm so sorry.
Chicken and garlic sprouts. Mm-hmm. The other signature dish of the house, the Szechuan beef proper. It seems to me I'm still missing something. No, 8 courses would be enough, I think, wouldn't it? Would that be enough? The Zhanjiang shrimp. Which is the...
So it was 9 courses?
9 courses. That's right. And then what happens is that is
oh
a shrimp that
God.
Is battered and fried and dusted with a coarse salt that you would almost think it's too salty, but the flavor mix is perfect. And then for dessert, they take apples, caramelize them in sugar, mm-hmm. and then dip them in a ice water bath tableside and serve them with a scoop of mango ice cream. So the apples are cold and crispy on the outside because they've candied, but still hot and moist on the inside.
Man.
And then a cup of coffee, and I was hungry and hyper when that meal was over. No,
are you serious?
No, really, they could have said, sir, we're going to have to take you to the back room, shoot you, and bury you now. And I would have said, that's fine.
Okay.
Take me. That's great.
I'm done.
And it was the most.
Tapping out.
Every time. Precisely. I'm done. Every time I go to that restaurant, I say it's the best meal I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I mean it. So that's what I did for my birthday.
You know,
and if you're a food person, go there. Go to this place.
One thing that I really like about the place, and I feel like we've done like a huge like commercial for them.
And I didn't get any special deals. I paid retail.
And they're never going to like help us out or anything.
No, and
that's not it.
Well, no, he's
one thing that's
he's
really
not
cool.
going to hear this.
No, of course not. Nobody will. So one thing that I really like is that they always have their signature dishes.
Right.
But they always have something new as well.
Yes.
And that's where you're like, ooh. That's where like,
I told Carrie
always got something to like
the next time I go there
you.
The next time I go there I'm gonna let Bobby order for us.
I'm gonna say
you know what we like from past orders,
mm-hmm.
bring us what you think we should eat, and that's what we're gonna do. Oh, and the last thing, my last tip after we do this infomercial for the Peking Gourmet Inn, but I hope I communicated it to you. And by the way, if you don't like lamb, a lot of people don't like lamb, still eat this lamb. It is a candied ginger thing. It is so tense. I'm embarrassed to say that my mouth is watering right now talking about it. So if you go to the Peking Gourmet Inn and you want to feel like you're a member of the Cognoscenti, you want to fit in, ask for the Uncle Charlie sauce.
Uncle Charlie sauce.
It's not on the menu.
That sounds like something.
It's not from My Three Sons. It has nothing to do with William
Devereaux.
That sounds
like something. You don't want.
No, you'd want this. What it is essentially are some of their homegrown hot peppers. They're not jalapenos. They're not quite as hot as that, but they are marinated in soy. So the soy sauce becomes spicy and the peppers sort of take on the flavor of the soy. And it's amazing on everything.
That sounds really good.
It's great. It's the greatest, as a matter of fact. So thank you. It was a great birthday. I didn't piss off everybody in my family.
Well, I did that on my birthday.
And I think that's we've reached all the things we meant to do today. We're going to have to postpone your magazines or catalogs.
Well, the thing about the catalogs is that...
that we're postponing them.
We're postponing them, but you should know they broke my mailbox.
They broke your mailbox.
We'll get to that.
Okay, that'll be a good reason to tune in for Lucky Number 7.
Yes.
And before we go, you had something to say about your sister. I know that.
Absolutely. My sister, Lindsay,
Did she ever live in your basement and then break your heart?
No.
Never did.
Different sister.
Okay.
She actually lives in Hawaii with...
Must be nice.
Well, she lives there because her husband is a serviceman. He is in the Navy.
Awesome.
And they have 2 beautiful children. Stella and Jeremy. David, her husband,
mm-hmm.
is in the Navy, and God bless him for his service. God bless her for being a military wife.
Yes.
I know it's particularly hard, especially for Navy servicemen.
Mm-hmm.
He is stationed on a submarine. I guess that's how you say it. I'm not really sure how you say it.
Wow.
But when he's deployed, he's on a sub.
Okay. Wow.
For months at a time. And he's back. And I have to tell you, like, some of the pictures that I see when they come off.
Oh, I know.
The sub, it's goosebumps.
As a matter of fact, I invite everybody to check out the thumbnail picture for today's episode, and you'll see what we're talking about. But I will say this, and I've said it before, and at risk of sounding jive, know that it doesn't get much more sincere than this. I thank everyone in the military for doing the stuff that I could never have the bravery to do. Thank you for protecting us.
Absolutely.
And our rights to do what we
and,
do.
And that's where I was going with the whole thing. I can't imagine, not even the men and the women that are in the military, but their spouses and their families.
And their families. I mean, that's as much of a sacrifice for the family and the kids as it is for them. So,
and it's a beautiful thing, and it just makes me smile to see them reunited.
Hold them in your hearts. And one last item. I know we have pressing issues. So says Katie's bladder.
I have to pee so bad.
You complained in a previous episode about the Elvis hand towel.
It was too stiff. It's not that I complained.
Complained. It's fine.
Actually, Dan was the one who complained.
Well, Dan complains about everything.
That's not true.
I know. I'm just throwing him under the bus. Dan will be happy when he returns.
It was stiff.
This is not stiff.
Hey.
This is nice.
He looks good.
Doesn't that look nice?
He really does.
That's like, I think, from Spin Out or Speedway. He's got a little hair thing happening on his forehead.
He looks shockingly good.
And it is shocking.
Hubba hubba hubba.
But it is a great towel. And the good news is,
it's soft.
According to Federal Express, the shower curtain will be here Wednesday. I kid you not. I kid you not.
May it not disappoint.
Oh, God. We should have actually photos of the complete Elvis bathroom the next time we record.
I don't know.
I feel bad you have to pee right now.
Rob,
I'll finish up. You go.
Okay, I'm taking my head. Thank you to everyone. Thank you, Rob.
Go pee.
Thank you,
go.
Oscar, Mike. Everybody.
You're taking all my lines here.
Okay, bye.
Go. Don't flush until I tell you. She really did write me a note about 8 minutes ago. I have to pee. Can we pause before ending? That's when I said, I want you to talk about your sister. Sadistic? Maybe? Who knows? In any case, thank you for joining us on this episode of the Cake and Cookie Show. For Katie, I'm Rob. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next week with another brand new episode. So long, everybody.
O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
I hope you didn't hear me flush. I really did have to pee. I mean, seriously, if you'd made me laugh like one more time, I thought it was all over.
You gotta say goodbye or something, don't you?
No, that's it.